You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. Just want to quickly say a few things before I open up the word of God. Thank you so much to young adults who will be taking the amazing student missionaries out and about today. And I know that the following week, which is the 24th, we're going to try to grab a few families from church to get these beautiful American students to come and enjoy some tucker, some food with us. So I know that originally we wanted to have three groups, but I thought maybe if there are some families here who wants to host these beautiful students for a meal next Sunday evening, I can even have more groups, so it's smaller, and so you might have a couple of these students at your place. If that is you, can you just find me or flick me an email, and I would love to put you on that list so that we can just have more of us hosting these beautiful students here. Before I open up the Word of God, I want to just really celebrate what God is doing in this church here with just raising up leaders and having people step up into ministry, and it's always a joy to really celebrate that. And so I'm going to invite the following people on stage. These are our community leaders. They're shepherds. They're small group leaders. So I'm going to invite Mark and Tina. Please come forward. Give them a round of applause as they come forward. Jenny, Brendan, Emily, and also Daryl as well. Yeah, if you're here, please come forward. Because I've got to get straight to the Word of God. We're running a bit of time. Yeah. You know what our church here, right? I say all the time, we're not a church that just runs on Sunday. Like, Sunday's great, but it's not my, you know, it's not my complete joy. My complete joy is to see discipleship, people in small group doing life together, journeying, being apprentices of Jesus. And so it gives me... It gives me joy just to introduce some new community leaders here. Like in the young adults community, we have Emily, Brendan, and Jenny. In the adults community, we have Tina, Mark, who's also serving kids' church right there. And of course, Daryl as well. You probably know Daryl Eunice runs an amazing connect group at Sun Life Church, but Daryl is actually going to step up into the area of cluster leadership, where he's going to lead a group of community leaders, so connect group leaders. And thank you so much for helping me in discipleship. You know, Sun Life Church is not about just getting people in groups so that they stay with us, so that our church grows. No, Sun Life Church is about getting people in groups so that we get to disciple them and we journey with them and help them follow Jesus better as we follow Jesus. And every one of you, you'll be doing that. And I thank God for the people that will come around you, and you're going to spend time with them in prayer, and you're going to encourage them, and you're going to help them grow, and you're going to help them with the next steps. And I know that I can't do this alone, and I thank God that you have all stepped up into that area. And I know that for some of you, maybe God is going to speak to you that that's something that God wants you to do next. I would love to have more leaders step up, helping people follow Jesus better. And these leaders here will be doing that from the second half of this year onwards. So when you see them later on, make sure you encourage them, you champion them on, because I want to celebrate every time we have people step up into ministry, shepherding, discipling people. So I'm going to pray for you that God will bless you, that God will empower you to do your work. And I want to remind you that right now, as of this point here, there will be spiritual attacks. That when we do something good for the glory of God, the evil one is not happy. And he's going to put doubt, he's going to put seeds, and he's going to find ways to discourage us. But I want you to know that God's power is in you. The power that resurrected Christ from the dead is in you. And he's going to get you through this. And I'm excited to where God's going to lead you as you lead people and you lead our church. So can I pray for you all? So can we just extend our hand and just pray? Father God, I lift up Emily, Brendan, Jenny, Tina, Mark, and Daryl to you right now. And I pray that you would anoint them as they take on this role in leadership, God, that you would use them to disciple many, that through them, there'll be more disciplers, that through them, we'll see more people step up in ministry, and through them, we're going to see people live for the glory of God alone. So I lift all my brothers and sisters to you right now, and I pray for your empowerment to rest upon them, that they would just begin to trust you, and that they to themselves will be sticking close to you, that they'll be following the Master, so that those that they lead would follow them because they are following the Master. So I pray, God, that there's intimacy with you from this day forward that will be at a deeper level, a closer level, God. So would you bless them, God? And now I also pray against the evil one who is going to bring schemes and doubts and distraction and discouragement towards them. And I pray, God, that you would protect them, that you would saturate their minds, their hearts with your words, that you are proud of them, that you are pleased with what they're doing, and that you would give them power to do your work, God. So God, I lift up and I commission these amazing leaders, Lord, before this congregation, God, that you would use them to lead us to follow Jesus better. And I pray, God, that you would also raise up more leaders at Sun Life Church, God. We are a growing church. There are so many people here, and I'm praying right now in faith prophetically that you put a seed of leadership in those who hear this prayer, God, that they'll step up and serve and lead. And we, this church, will not be a consumer-based church, that we're not here just to receive, but we're here to give, God, because we know it is a joy to give, Lord. So God, I pray a blessing upon these beautiful people here. Would you grow their hearts to love? Would you grow their hands in capacity to lead your people? In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Give them a round of applause. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Wow. What a morning. What a morning. I reckon, Simon, you should have your own talk show very, very soon. You're an amazing man. Thank you so much for the interview, Ian and Anna. It's good to have you back. For those who don't know me, my name is Bin, and I'm the pastor here. And this morning, always a joy to open up the Word of God with you as we study His Word to help us live a life in pursuing Jesus. Amen? Let me ask you this question. Quick question right here. Quick question. Hands up if you just recently purchased a smartphone, like a mobile phone. Anyone just recently? No one? All right. Okay, anyone bought something? Oh, someone bought a phone. Yeah, a few people just bought a phone. Fantastic. Now, when you buy a smartphone, you would most likely go to maybe Telstra, is that right? Vodafone, Optus, and you're checking them out, is that right? Now, what would actually get you to complete the deal? What would actually get you to cross the line to say, yep, I'm going with that company? What would it be? You're always asking for what? Offers and perks and freebies. Is that right? You're weighing it all up. Is that right? You're trying to figure out, okay, is there a free international calls? What's my data? Do I get like 150 gigs or 15 gigs? What's my monthly repayment? Is that right? All right. Do I get like some kind of insurance policy? Is there a replacement policy if I lose the phone within the first 12 months? Is that right? Do I get a free leather case? Do I get whatever, 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 right? And we compare offers and we contrast and we go, yes, that's the best deal, and we take that option. Is that right? You know, this morning here, I want you to know that when you follow Jesus, He gives you a lot of blessings. There are offers for you and I to keep following Jesus. The text this morning is the text where Jesus feeds 5,000. This is recorded in all four gospels because it's so important. But as I was studying this during the week, I kept feeling Jesus saying, keep following me, keep trusting me, and I'll tell you why. I'll give you four blessings. I'll give you four offers if you keep following me. And I'm going to talk about these four offers, the four offers of Jesus, if we continue to follow Him as Master and we as apprentices. So that's right. You heard me right. There are 4 points this morning. 4 points. Here we go. The first offer is the offer of rest. The second offer is the offer of compassion. The third offer is the offer of faith. And the last offer is the offer of satisfaction. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to dive into the text. If you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 6, verse 30 to 44. If you have the church app, open up the church app because the notes are there and the passage is there as well. Let me pray. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to expound your word with clarity. I pray that you would use me mightily to speak your truth to the people here and those joining us online. And I pray, God, that we are not just hearers, but we are doers because your word is alive and active, that we will leave this place loving Jesus even more, that we want to follow the Master even more. So would you help us to see these beautiful blessings and offers that you present to us if we follow you? So God, would you help me right now? Would you use me to speak your word with clarity, with passion, with authority? I invite you now, Holy Spirit, to be our great teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're good to go. You got your Bibles open. Mark chapter 6. The first offer is the offer of rest. Look in verse 30 onwards. Here we go. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they have done and taught. Now let's stop there for 1 second. It can be a bit confusing because last week's message was a banquet. King Herod is at his birthday party, remember? And that's when John the Baptist is beheaded, right? That part of scripture is an interlude. That's juxtaposition. All right, so that's Mark's way of going, let me cut to another scene. To understand the context here, we have to go back to the message that I preached 2 weeks ago. Does anyone remember that message? No one. Man, I'm hurt. That's the one Jesus comes home to his hometown. He's rejected, remember? But then he sends his people on mission, all right? So if you read, say, verse 13, right? Verse 13, it reads a bit like this. And they drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So Jesus sends out the disciples into the regions and they're performing miracles. It's a fruitful time of ministry. People are coming to the faith. You know, miracles are being taken place. The sick is being healed. They're casting out demons. So they come back here and they report to Jesus what has happened. Do you understand that, right? So they've come back to say, hey, Jesus, this is what we've done. It's amazing. People are healed, demons cast away, people are receiving you, people coming to the kingdom, right? So they're telling Jesus, verse 31, then because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he, that's Jesus, said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. It's still chaotic. So much happening, people coming and going, and it's like there's no time for a bite, there's no time for a snack. And Jesus says, hey, you come alone with me to a quiet place, a solitude place, and we will get some rest. All right? And we see that pattern in Jesus. You study Jesus, and Jesus is always finding time to rest. He's doing ministry and he's resting. If you remember in chapter 3 of Mark, if you remember back then, it was like so busy, people were waiting for Jesus the day after the Sabbath, and he's doing all this ministry, but the very next morning, where do we find Jesus? By himself, in a solitude place, resting, praying, and then he goes back for more ministry. If you remember in Luke chapter 4, before the public ministry of Jesus, right, before Jesus is out there doing public ministry, where do we find him? 40 days in the wilderness, fasting, praying, resting, preparing himself for ministry. And so the pattern of Jesus in the Bible is a bit like this. Ministry, withdrawal or rest, and then ministry. He does work, he rests, and he does work again. And I wonder whether summertime you and I, we forget to rest. We are just doing things all the time. One event after the next. One ministry event after the next. We're just living life, go, go, go. No time for rest. I mean, we live in a world today where it's practically impossible to rest. Everywhere you go, your phone is with you and you're checking your email. People are calling you. There's a phobia to put things on silent because you're on a miss out FOMO, fear of missing out. And you just never rest. It's all about attending church, following up someone who's not around, serving, next birthday party, kids' sports, kids' music lesson tuition. It's go, 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 go. And I wonder if we ever rest. I wonder if we ever take time to stop. And I'm not saying, listen carefully, that going to church is bad. Going to connect group is bad. Going to that birthday gathering is bad. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, following Jesus is not all about doing things for Jesus, but also about being with Jesus. Resting with Jesus. There's a time in the gospel where there's two sisters, Mary and Martha. You know that gospel message? Mary and Martha, one is resting and one is working. I think sometimes we need to be Martha and serving and doing things for God. But there's also a time we need to be Mary and resting by the feet of Jesus. Amen? So we rest so that we can do God's work. We rest so that we can do God's work. And Jesus offers us rest. He says, if you follow me, There will be work, but you come alone with me and I'll offer you rest. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, great theologian, he writes this. Let him who cannot be alone beware of community. Let him who is not in community beware of being alone. Each by itself has profound pitfalls and perils. One who wants fellowship without solitude plunges into the void of words and feelings, and one who seeks solitude without fellowship perishes in the abyss of vanity and despair. He's saying you need both. You need community, you need people, you need to do life with people, because we are created to be in community. We need to be surrounded by people, encouraging people, ministering to people, doing work with people. But he says you also need to be by yourself to rest. And if you're just doing people without resting, that's a danger. If you're resting and not being with people, that's also a danger. You've got to have both. And Jesus invites us to rest. And I invite you to take that rest. I invite you to make sure that every week you look at your calendar and you ask yourself the question, am I putting in a time of rest? Is the Sabbath something that I really hold on to? Or that's something that happens when I've got time? I want to challenge you, Sun Life Church, that you look at your calendar and you put in times of rest, times where you can slow down and enjoy the presence of Jesus so that he can prepare you for what is around the corner. Maybe for some of us, listen carefully, God has some great ministry for us around the corner, but it's not happening yet until you find time to rest first before the ministry is before you. And he invites us to rest. And you know, when we rest, what we're saying is that, Father, my identity is not in doing. My identity is in being with you. That I cannot worry about, you know, what's going on, because that's your job. You take care of that. I want to be with you. And I will invite you, Sun Life Church, to take that offer. Have rest. Have time with the Lord. Maybe it's daily, just a short time where you slow down and just enjoy his presence. Maybe have something weekly, you know, a day. Maybe have something quarterly or annually where you just take time away from the busyness of life, busyness of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and just rest and enjoy the offer of rest that God is offering to you and I. And for some of us this morning, maybe you're feeling tired. Yeah, you're feeling frustrated. You're weary. The invitation of rest can happen straight away. Look what Jesus once said in Matthew 11:28-29. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's the first offer. If you follow Jesus and you find it tiring, you know what? He offers you rest. Can I suggest you take that offer? Amen? Here's the second thing here, is the offer of compassion. Look in verse 33 onwards. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now, just stop there for 1 second. Picture this with me. So Jesus and the disciples are now trying to find a place to what? Rest, yeah? But the people realize that, oh, that's Jesus. That's the disciple. Oh, he's on a boat going to the other side. Let's run on foot and let's meet him there. Now, imagine you and I, right? If we were there with Jesus, we're one of the disciples, yeah? And we're going to get some rest with Jesus, and we are on the boat, and the boat reached shore. We hop off the boat, and we're walking towards that place of solitude, and the very people that we're trying to run away from are right there waiting for us. Yeah? Yeah? It's like parents, right? Parents, you know, you've been in that situation where you've had a big day at work, and you want to go home and find a little quiet corner at the back of the house just to have some shut eyes, and as soon as you find that place, and you're about to close your eyes, guess who's there? The kiddies, right? You know, I'm pretty sure the disciples would have been so frustrated. Maybe the blood temperature increased a little bit. What's going on? We're trying to find some rest. We're trying to get away from all you guys, and we get there and you're there waiting for us. It's not fair. But look at how Jesus responded. So when Jesus landed and he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. And Jesus had compassion. He saw these people as sheep without shepherd, which means they didn't have any direction. They didn't have any purpose. They didn't have any meaning. There is no leadership. All right, they were lost, they were helpless, they were hopeless. And Mark uses this Greek word, which I'm not going to try to pronounce. It's on the screen, all right? And it's the only one time it's used in the New Testament. It's this word where he felt so sick in his belly, in his bowels, in his gut. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt so sick down here? I remember as a young Christian going to a Bible study in my pastor's house at the end of the night, and it's time to pray, and he's looking for someone to pray out loud, and no one wants to make eye contact because you're afraid that if you look at him, he'll ask you to pray. And you're looking down, and he will say, "Bin, can you pray out loud to close the service or to close the night?" Oh, that sick feeling. I feel like vomiting. Right? You know, it's when the emotion, all right, and the physiological comes together. All right? And that's the word there, that there was movement down here. He saw these people and he was moved by them and he began to teach them. All right? We're not quite sure. The text doesn't tell us, but he's teaching something about maybe hope and meaning and purpose and life. But I love the fact that in the text, Jesus didn't brush them away. And Jesus didn't say, "Well, you're the very reason why I'm trying to get some quiet. We're trying to find a place to rest. So why are you here? Leave us. Give us a time alone so that we can rest up." He didn't brush them away. He had compassion towards them. He began to teach them things. The passage is very clear that when Jesus looks at you and I today, he doesn't say, "I don't have time for you." He doesn't say things like, "Well, you've made some mistakes in the past. Well, you deserve to suffer. Oh, so you're struggling. Go to Bunnings and eat a bag of cement and harden up." He doesn't do that. What we see is compassion. We see compassion. We see that he still notices these people. And I want to encourage you that God still notices you. He knows where you are at. And maybe some of you this morning, your lifestyle right now, the way you are living right now speaks of God's disappointment, God's anger, God's frustration, God's punishment, but he loves you. Maybe you think that God has turned away. He doesn't notice you anymore. He doesn't want anything to do with you. Maybe some of you think that you're so deep in your sin that God has given up on you. But I'm here to tell you that he sees you and he notices you and he has compassion on you, that he loves you and he still wants you. And he has time for you. And he doesn't brush you away. He doesn't say, "I don't have time for that person." He says, "No, I love you. Come to me and I will have compassion on you." The reason why a lot of Christians struggle to have that intimacy with God is because they think that God no longer notices them. They think that God doesn't care about them. They think that God has brushed them away. They think that God is no longer compassionate. Let me tell you that God is always compassionate. He loves you. He notices you. He knows where you're at and he wants you to come to him. And he wants to love you and has compassion on you. Isaiah 54:10 reads this: "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you." That's a promise of God for you and I. If you follow Jesus and you feel that you've messed up and you feel that you've done things where you go, "Well, I don't think Jesus has anything to do with me now." No, he still notices. He still loves you. He still has compassion upon you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to run to him. And he wants you to not let those things stop you from coming to him. And that's a wonderful offer for those of us who are following Jesus. Because let's be honest, it's not easy, right? There are times where we do certain things and we feel, "Well, I don't think he wants anything to do with me. I think he's turned a blind eye. I think his grace is no longer upon me." Friends, it's still there. He notices. He loves you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to come to him because he has compassion for you. And that's a wonderful offer for those who want to follow Jesus. Amen. The third offer here we see in the text is the offer of faith. Now look what happens now. There's a dialogue between the disciples and Jesus. Verse 35, "By this time, it was late in the day, so his disciple came to me." He says, "This is a remote place," they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. All right, so now there's a bit of a tension now, right? And so they're saying to Jesus, "Jesus, it's getting late. There's a lot of people here. They need to go home. They need to go and get some food. Look, they need to go now." Look at verse 37. And Jesus answered, "You give them something to eat." He goes, "You, the 12 of you, you give them something to eat." And they said to Jesus, "Well, that would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat?" And then Jesus says, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. I want to show you a tension right there. There's a tension between Jesus and the disciples. When Jesus said to the disciple, "You go and feed," they were rolling their eyes. "Jesus, you're kidding me. This is impossible. Do you know how many people there are? Like, we don't even have the money. We live in a cashless society, Jesus. Like, there's no one carrying cash around here. That's a lot of money, all right? How are we going to feed these people, right? And you want us to feed them. You feed them, Jesus." And Jesus says, "And you feed them." And then Jesus says, "Now you go and find out how many bread we have. How much, you know, fish or loaves." And they come back with 5 and 2. And what I see here, right, despite the tension, despite the moments of doubts, right, they still obeyed. You see, friends, there are going to be moments in our walk as we pursue Jesus where the things that Jesus wants us to do doesn't sit right with us. There are moments where we hear Jesus to tell us to do something, but we go, "That's not right. It's not logic. There's no logic behind it." And at that point in time, right, that's an invitation for us to work on our faith. There'll be times when you follow Jesus and he's going to say things like this, "Well, it's a blessing to give." "Really? I don't want to give. I want to keep it for myself." "Love your enemies." "Really? Love my enemies? Turn the other cheek." "No, I don't want to do that." "Forgive those who offend you." "I can't forgive those people." "Rejoice and find joy all the time in suffering. The last will be first." There are a lot of times when you follow Jesus, listen carefully, and the very thing that Jesus wants you to do does not align with what you want to do. It doesn't make any sense. But let me say, at that point in time, it's an invitation that Jesus says, "I want to offer you faith. I want you to grow in your faith." Because friends, listen carefully, when things are too comfortable, when things are always aligned with what we think, when everything is headed on a silver platter, I don't think our faith would ever grow. You know, your faith and my faith will only be forged in the fiery furnace of life. Because when life gets hard and when your faith is stretched to its limit, it's at that point it will go beyond that limit. And that's what God does. And I just know that. I know that when I'm following Jesus and when you're following Jesus, there's certain times when the things that Jesus wants us to do doesn't align with what we think. And at that point in time, he offers us the opportunity to grow in faith. He says, "Do you want to take that opportunity and grow in faith? Or are you going to take it safe?" And I want you to keep that in mind. Because maybe right now, you're following Jesus and you want to give up. You're finding it hard. You're reading blogs and you're hearing stories of people being blessed and you're going, "Why I'm not blessed?" And you're going, "This is not fair." Or you're trying to apply for a promotion and you're not getting it. "This is not fair." Well, at that point in time, you're being challenged. There are difficulties, there are hardships, there are setbacks. But at that time, that's an opportunity to grow in your faith. D.L. Moody, he writes this: "Our faith must be tested. God builds no ships but what he sends to sea. He's not going to build a ship and keep it at dock. He's going to release it out to sea where there are waves and tides and swells and storms so that it will be secure." That's the same with you and I, my friends. Life is not going to be easy, but every time you face the challenges of life, the suffering of life, the trials of life, the hardships of life, that's a moment where God says, I'm offering you a chance to grow in your faith. And you take that offer because that's how you grow. So we have three offers already. The offer of rest, the offer of compassion, the offer of faith. Here's the last offer, is the offer of satisfaction. Look in verse 39 onwards. When Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down on groups on the green grass, so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven. He gave thanks and he broke the loaves. When he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, he also divided the two fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. So the text tells us there's 5,000 men. So we don't know the exact number, maybe 15,000, 10,000. We don't know, but it's a huge number of male, females, all right, together. But in verse 42, you notice they were satisfied. Yeah, they ate and they were satisfied. The meal here was not a token meal or eat so that you can go home and find some more food. No, they ate as if you and I were at an all-you-can-eat buffet. They kept eating and to the point they were so satisfied, and there were 12 more basketful leftovers. All right, and we see that in the text. Now, there's something I want to show you. You may miss out. In verse 39, you notice how Mark uses the term green grass. You notice that, right? They were to sit on green grass. Previously, Jesus saw them as what? Sheep without a shepherd, right? So when you read that, right, you think, wait a minute, green grass, green pasture, shepherds. It reminds you of what? Psalms 23, remember? And in Psalms 23, what? Do you remember the opening? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. Which means I am satisfied. All right? So right now we see Mark drawing on from the Psalms. But if you read John's account, right? So John's version of this story in John chapter 6, right? The very next day, the people came and wanted more food. So go there with me. Go with me to John 6, 34, 35. They said, Sir, always give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Let me try to explain what I'm trying to teach here. You follow Jesus. You are satisfied because Jesus is who you get. Don't fall into the trap of this world where the world tells us that you're only satisfied if you have a bigger house. You're only satisfied if your bank account is larger. You're only satisfied when you have that next Italian leather handbag, or you know, you've got a better paying job, or you're wearing that Swiss watch. That's what the world will say to you. Being a Christian, right? You know, sometimes in circles, Christian circles, there's a teaching, follow Jesus and you'll be rich because there's abundance. He will satisfy you. Follow Jesus and he'll give you money. Don't fall for that trap. Don't fall for that lie, because the text tells me that I'm only satisfied because who do I get? The bread of life. And who is he? Jesus. So he completes me. If Jesus is all I need, if he's all I've got, if the world strips me from my family, from my possession, from everything, and I still have Jesus, I'm satisfied. He's all that I need. That's why he's the bread of life. You take him and you should never ever eat again. He says, I'm here to give you me. And if you follow me, you have me. And if you have me, I'm all that you need. And that's what I see here. Friends, if Jesus is all that you have, he's all that you need. And you and I, we are walking testimonies of that. And we understand that and we live this life knowing that we are satisfied because we have Jesus. We are a walking testimony, because people are going to look at us and go, wow, that person there just loves Jesus so much, that person seems so content. That person there's never chasing the next corporate move or never talking about the investment portfolio or whatever. They're just talking about Jesus. Let me say this. If you are wealthy in this church here, that's a blessing, okay? If some of you here, you're doing so well. That's God's grace. That's God's blessing upon you. But you're not satisfied in material wealth. You're satisfied in the bread of life, who is Jesus himself. So even if one day something happens and you lose all your wealth, but you still have Jesus, he's more than enough. Amen? You follow Jesus, friends, and he offers you satisfaction. The satisfaction is him alone, that you get to enjoy him, that he gives you everything, he completes you. And when we live like that, and when we are so satisfied in Jesus, guess who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Not us. It's all God. That's why John Piper, I love John Piper, I quote him, he says this: God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, in his son. When you are satisfied in Jesus because you know that he is the bread of life, that he completes you and he gives you everything, your life, your lifestyle will bring glory to God. And so when you and I keep following Jesus in our pursuit of discipleship and we find joy in Jesus because of the blessing of rest, the blessing of compassion, the blessing of faith, and the blessing of satisfaction, God gets the glory. And the world looks around and says, wow, there's a group of people who are very different and they don't hold onto their material possession. They give, they release. Well, you know why? Because your satisfaction is in Jesus. You know, when you're satisfied in Jesus and God, right, you don't hold onto your material blessings. The people who follow Jesus that give are more generous. You know what the key is? Their satisfaction is in Jesus, not what they hold. Yeah? And I know that a lot of you here, you are so generous. So generous with your time. Yeah? So generous with your talents. So generous with your treasures. That's the reason why we're a growing church today. When I look back and how this church is growing, it's because a lot of you have given your time and your talents and your treasures. You're generous. Well, you know why? I know why. I believe, and I hope so, it's because you find satisfaction in Jesus. And he's your ultimate joy. Therefore, you can release the things that you're holding on to. And you know that the wealth of this world doesn't really mean anything. So keep pursuing the journey of discipleship. Keep following Jesus. Amen. Those blessings or offers, whatever you want to call it, it's wonderful. He says, keep following me and I'll offer you rest. For those who are tired, I give you rest. And for some of us here, we're doing some huge ministry here at Sun Life Church. Find rest. Follow the pattern of Jesus. Ministry, rest, ministry. For some of you here, especially those who are far from God, because you feel that, well, I'm trying to figure out this whole Christianity thing. God knows you. God loves you. He has compassion on you. He cares about you. He wants you. And for some of us who are following Jesus and we feel like, oh, I've just done some really bad things and maybe he doesn't really care about me. He doesn't really love me anymore. No, he still does. He cares about you a lot. He noticed you. He has compassion on you. And for some of us here, you're finding it really tough right now. Following Jesus, raising your family, work, finance, the ups and downs of life. Well, that's what it means to be human, living in a broken world. Amen. But those moments, God offers us a chance to grow in our faith. And lastly, well, he says that I give you satisfaction. Not in wealth, not in abundance of treasures in this world here, but me. I am the bread of life. Those who eat from me will never go hungry again. Those who drink from me will never thirst again. He offers himself to us. So find your satisfaction in him alone. Amen? And not this world, so that you can release the things you're holding. And you will find it a blessing to give than to receive. Those four offers. Keep following Jesus. Sun Life Church, yeah? This is what this church is all about, discipleship. Yeah? Amen? Not about coming here on a Sunday. I mean, this is great, but it's about going to small groups, finding people who will help you to keep following Jesus. Yeah? Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the amazing blessings and offers that we have when we follow you. And we know that life is not easy. We know that there are ups and downs, but we are so blessed that you journey with us. You give us those moments of rest and those moments to grow our faith, and you're always having compassion upon us, and we are satisfied in you. So God, we want to glorify you as we completely find ourselves satisfied in you. So bless this church here as we keep pursuing the journey of discipleship, as we keep following the Master Jesus, because we want to be apprentices of Jesus. Would you help us to follow the way? We love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, why don't you be upstanding? Why don't we just close this morning in a time of worship? Let's just respond to the preaching of God's word. Let's just sing and worship and sing together and declare that He is our God. Amen.